Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Father Gerald Horan. Father, welcome back to our program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Father Gerald has been a frequent guest of ours, and we're very glad that he's been able to join us again. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about Lent and its impact upon us, where it comes from, why this can be so very important to our lives. But before we get too far into the subject, Father, would you please open us with a brief word of prayer?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Lord our God, you call your people continually to be renewed and reformed. You call us to metanoia, a change of heart. And this holy season of Lent is our journey of renewal. Help us through these days to be transformed to the message and the pathway of your gospel. Help us to be renewed in heart and spirit, and help us to be alive with the mystery of Easter. And all this we pray through Christ the Lord. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father,
and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Okay, Father, so I remember years ago when The Passion of the Christ first came out. It came out on Ash Wednesday, and I was in there with my big ash forehead because I had been at Mass as a principal, and of course my priest always hunted out the teachers and principals to give that great big huge cross.
Really?
So everyone knew, yes,
yeah.
The Revenge of Father is what they would call that. But I remember looking around, and you could see that about half of the theater had little remnants left by that point of the little bit of ashes on their forehead. And it served to remind me, as I'm watching this, a very poignant show. It was the first time I'd seen it. And of course, it's a bit on the grisly side, but it definitely has a strong impact. To see it in the context of that many people who were taking their faith and examining it one more time so deeply had a powerful impact on me for the rest of that whole Lent.
Oh, sure. And, you know, in our churches, Ash Wednesday, and in so many places, Ash Wednesday is almost the biggest day of the year. Christmas and Easter are really the focus of our life as church. But in popular piety, a lot of it is tied to penance. And I know the parish where I reside, they had hourly services from dawn until 8 or 9 at night. And people were coming and filling the church over and over again to participate in Lent, to be signed with the ashes and to begin that journey of penance. But it's kind of a funny thing in a way. Penance is a very important aspect and part of Lent, but we can't really let it overshadow, that what Lent is really about is baptism and Easter. And that is really the core of it. The most ancient awareness that we have of anything like Lent comes actually from way back in the 4th century. And, I mentioned on the show a long time ago, the Diary of Egeria. It's an ancient document. It's, the diary of a nun who, was traveling. In the 4th century.
Okay, the 4th century means we're talking the 300s. We're talking right after the final persecutions of the church came to an end. Constantine says it's okay to come out of your holes. You can see the light of day, and the church begins to progress as a recognized real body in Rome.
Some writers call it the flowering of the church, because it was the moment when the church kind of blossomed. They weren't under oppression, and the Lord had not returned, so the parousia was still on the horizon, and so they had to figure out, how are we going to use this time? How are we going to be Catholic? And now, why a nun was outside of her Spanish convent and found herself in Jerusalem, that part's a mystery. The diary doesn't really solve that mystery, and that was an age when women didn't travel all that freely. But for some reason, Egeria, or Etheria, as she's called in some of these writings, she was in Jerusalem. And so she has left us a very ancient document, a diary, that tells us of her experience in the city of Jerusalem and what the Jerusalem church was beginning to do. And it's really, it is a fascinating read because, you know, this was before there was an ordo or a set of missals or books. And yet the Jerusalem church was particularly there because they were in the place of all the holy sites. They began to reenact and dramatize in liturgy the sacred mystery, the Lord's dying and his rising. And as the church was now in the fourth century, beginning to gather new members and widen its arms and bring people in, a big part of the motif and the liturgy was the baptism, the growth of the church, the addition and welcoming of new members. And so one of the aspects of this time of celebrating the Paschal mystery was a very intense preparation of those who were to be baptized, the catechumens. And we have other sources in which we're presented with the ancient instructions that they were given on these 40 days before entering into their baptism rites. You know, in that era, they were mystery rites, secret rites. Everything wasn't like where you just walk in a church off of Main Street. It was more of a secret religion. And so,
well, for 300 years, they had to be secret,
yes,
in order to survive.
And they so the people who were brought into the church family maybe had never even been to a mass before. And so they were given 40 days of intense preparation. I mean, they had been catechumens for 2, maybe 3 years, depending on their progress in the journey and their how they were learning the faith. But as they prepared for Easter, this sacred triduum in which they would be brought into the family of believers, they went through a very intense 40-day retreat, 40 days reminding us of the 40 days of the Jewish people wandering in the desert, 40 days. 40 days for the Lord in preparation for his own public ministry. And so they had this intense 40-day period of special instruction, daily worship and meeting with the bishop. And it was punctuated by certain anointings and preparatory rites until, as they came to the time of the Triduum, then they would be brought formally into the family of believers.
So this diary that you are talking about, this comes from the 300s from a nun who had originally come from old Roman Spain, now in Jerusalem, for some unknown reason, but she writes about all of this.
That's right. And she gives a diary of what happened on every day and what, as she went to these special conferences that the bishops would hold, what the catechumens were instructed in and how they were preparing. And so this is really the seed of the church's observance of Lent. Turn the calendar ahead a couple hundred years.
Okay, we're going to fast forward. All right.
Yeah, jump forward a little bit. And you've got a church kind of after the Constantinian era and all that. The church has become public. And there aren't large crowds of people being baptized. But this custom of a special retreat preceding the Easter celebration and focused upon the approaching moment of Easter, or in that case, more remembering the moment of baptism at an earlier point in their life, still remained a fixture of the Christian life. And so these 40 days really have as their focus to recover and to renew, to enter more deeply into the vocation of the disciple, to be a follower of Jesus, to be a fully active and fully realized baptized person.
See, this is why I love history, because I never knew this little bit of history about how this had been almost entirely focused on those who were going to be baptized, and that as the history goes forward and Christianity now is fairly universal, very few people are being baptized as adults. They've all been baptized as infants, but the remembrance of that time of preparation for the catechumens so that they're empowered to have a more powerful reception of Christ at their baptism is echoed now in those 40 days of Lent. What a fascinating story in history.
Well, it really is. And you can push that button, that fast forward button again, and it takes us a couple hundred years to the future. And the baptismal notion of Lent kind of waned. And what really became important was the was penitential. That was the part that remained. And so the history or the memory, the tradition that was passed on to us was much more heavily penitential than baptismal. I think today, now we're really pushing the fast forward button ahead, and we're in, the 21st century. We need to go back. We need to remember the baptismal origins. We need to hold on to the penitential renewal, and we need to celebrate a Lent that really helps us to do both to do penance and to remember our baptism.
When we come back, Father, I want to explore just that how do we take those lessons we've learned from history and apply it to our Lent? You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is Father Gerald Horan, and we're talking about Lent here high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California. And we will be right back. And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you from the beautiful campus here in Garden Grove of Christ Cathedral, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. I'm Rick Howick, your host today, and with me is Father Gerald Horan. And I want to give a little preview. When we get to the last section of today's radio broadcast, we're going to bring on another guest to talk about some things that are available, especially for our youth in our diocese. But before we get there, to what's available to us, I want to do a little bit more on the background, not necessarily into the history of the fourth century, but maybe a little plumbing of our theology and our biblical material. What do we discover about Lent when we open the New Testament?
Well, the Church traditionally begins Lent with on Ash Wednesday with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew that focuses us on renewal and penance. And that gospel passage lays before us the challenge of Lent. The Church has pointed to the disciplines of prayer and fasting and almsgiving as the kind of hinge pins or major building blocks of a good Lent. And so as we seek to be renewed in our discipleship, as we seek to find again our baptismal identity, the Church puts the discipline of these activities as a goal for us.
Now, I know in the early Church, fasting was a far more common ascetic discipline, spiritual discipline, than what I think it is today. I know if you read some of the documents like the Didache, you have even an argument about what days you should fast versus other people. But really, when I first became a Catholic, and as most of our listening audience knows, I'm a convert to this faith, it was a confusing thing for me. What benefit do we really get from denying our body food and making ourselves go hungry? What is the role of fasting as an asceticism?
Well, back to that gospel passage, one of the things that it's not is to put on a show. That gospel passage repeatedly tells us that when you fast, when you pray, when you give alms, don't put on a show and don't do it for others to see. Do it for the internal realization and lesson and awareness that it brings. Matthew tells us, don't put on a sad face like the hypocrites, for they already have their reward. And so what is the reward of fasting? That's what you're asking.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, and we're told it's not supposed to be for diet, and you can't get to a diet from 2 days of fast anyway. But what is the spiritual benefit of denying your body?
Well, you know, when we're hungry, we've got fast food on every corner. We can go into McDonald's or some other fast food place on the corner. We can have our
Wahoo's
food in a
for
second.
For our fish tacos, because they're having a special on Fridays during
we'll
lunch.
Get to that one. we can, and we're used to having our needs and desires immediately satisfied. The notion of fasting is to physically, perhaps, allow our bodies to experience a little want, you know, to realize that everything isn't fast and easy. And as we experience hunger, I think most of us would be reminded that the real feeding of our hearts and our lives is God, that we're reminded just by the way that our stomach churns and grumbles that we depend on God. God gives the food that we take for granted. God gives the food that we pick up on the street corner and that we quickly eat without thinking and sometimes without thanking. And so the goal of fasting is to make space for God, you know, to, how would I say, in a context of want as I go to prayer, to be reminded that we depend on Him for our sustenance, our life, our happiness, and our wholeness. And so the desire of our bodies, I think the tradition tells us that it focuses us back into the experience of prayer.
So the New Testament passage that we read on Ash Wednesday sets up Lent, and then there's a series of other passages. What are some of the other parts of our biblical tradition that really helps center a good focus for Lent?
I don't know that you'll find direct references to Lent in the New Testament because, as I said, its real origins as a Christian custom and calendar, they're 4 centuries later, and so it's not really there. But the message of Lent, which is discipleship, following Jesus, entering into the baptized life, that's right there in the gospel. And so we hear during Lent, we hear gospel messages about taking up our cross and following you. Today, I was at a penance service this morning for high school students, and, I was kind of struggling what to focus on, which scripture to choose. And so I chose, from 2 Corinthians, a message that was about becoming a new creation. And that's a reminder that God's not done with us yet. We've all got a ways to go. And how can I, especially in our youthful arrogance, we can sometimes feel a little bit proud of ourselves. And so it is a reminder that God's still working on us. We still need to rely on God's grace, and we still need to ask ourselves, which direction is God calling me to grow?
So this is one of the reasons why when we receive the ashes, traditionally, the words that have been used, even though some churches may say it differently, the traditional way had always been, remember, O man, you are dust, and to dust you shall return.
Another formula that was approved, I think it's in the New Roman Missal, I'm not exactly sure if it's still there, it was in the interim, was be converted and follow the way of the gospel.
So it's still about change.
Yes.
And remembering that you used the word earlier, it's a Greek word, metanoia. What does metanoia actually mean, and what does it have to do with Lent?
Well, metanoia is a Greek word, obviously, and it really means change of life, to be changed in heart, to be so changed that I become a different person. And, of course, when we remember back with the Egeria story that we were talking about and the earliest Christian converts entering into this secret religion and this secret faith, they were really being changed in heart and life. They were being changed in the very depth of their being. And they were entering into a way that was going to not just demand a change for once, but a change that was new every day, to be constantly changed. And so the scriptures do speak about metanoia and the ongoing need to be converted each day to the gospel. And really, so when we as Christians talk about metanoia, that's what we're talking about, is taking, as that other passage, gospel passage speaks about, taking up the cross each day and becoming new, walking toward the resurrection with Jesus each day.
Yeah, I was reminded that when we hear taking up our cross, it's not an image of just taking the burdens of your life. Jesus takes his cross to go and die, and we're asked to be willing to give up our lives, not necessarily as martyrs, though that can happen. We've been reminded of that from time to time, and even in our own era. But to be willing to die to yourself, to be willing to die to your hopes and dreams, to be willing to die, you know, as a parent, when you have children, which is what I am, you're a priest. You've got lots and lots and lots of children in your spiritual life. I have three little girls who are now not so little, they're teenagers, who depend a lot, and they ask a lot. And we're asked when we become parents to die to ourselves in a certain way.
But see, that's the very essence of the Paschal mystery. That's the journey that we're walking toward. That's what the Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, that's what it is doing, is trying to make that connection between the cross and the challenges and the burdens, the disappointments and frustrations that are part of my life, and connecting them to the cross of Jesus, so that his victory over that cross, both once in history and brought again to life in the liturgy of our experience, they become one. And the victory of Jesus, both at that moment in history and through the liturgy brought alive in my own experience, is a victory over those day-to-day crosses and frustrations and brokenness that we all face.
When we're looking then at the biblical roots for this, we're really looking at Golgotha. We're looking at Christ being willing to not only die for us, but in the moment that he's doing it, he's praying for the people who are doing the very nailing and saying, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." There's a selflessness that we're asked to imitate, and Lent can be a time for us to reflect a little, how am I doing on that?
Exactly. Exactly. It's the church's time of retreat, the annual retreat that helps us remember who we are, where we're going, and what our life is about.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. With me today is Father Gerald Horan, who's one of our favorite guests, but who today is talking to us about a very heavy topic, though I must admit I'm learning a lot of very light things today about how Lent has come into be, and also about how Lent can be a very important changing experience to our lives. So when we come back, I want to talk a little more practically about how Lent can be applied over the next few weeks, especially for those of us here in the Diocese of Orange. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. We'll be right back.
The Orange County Catholic Book Club is kicking off its author focus series with a presentation by the promising new Orange County-based Catholic author, James Day. Day will discuss his latest work, Father Benedict, the Spiritual and Intellectual Legacy of Pope Benedict XVI, with a panel of local church scholars, including Father Robert Spitzer and Pia De Soleni, on Thursday, April 27th at 6:30 p.m. in the Free Theater on the Christ Cathedral campus. For ticket information, go to bookclubseries.eventbrite.com or call 714-282-3045. That's 714-282-3045. The Orange County Catholic Book Club offers quarterly opportunities to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors, reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. For more information on the OC Catholic Book Club, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you from the 8th floor on the Tower of Hope here on the campus of Christ Cathedral in beautiful Garden Grove. And with me today is Father Gerald Horan. And Father, I want to thank you for coming in and talking with us about Lent. We had a wonderful opening session where we were talking about the history of Lent, and a 4th century nun that I only know a very little bit about, and that's all come from you. And it's been fascinating to hear a little of that history. And then you were able to talk with us a little bit about some of the biblical material and how that's calling us to change. We were talking during the break a little bit about some of the options we have to celebrate Lent. I guess that can be a good term, to embrace Lent and the message of Lent. And you were saying that there was a movie that's come out that has an interesting message.
There's a great film out right now, I think it's great, called The Shack, S-H-A-C-K, The Shack. And it's a powerful story about a man. We were talking about brokenness in our own lives. And this man named Mac is broken. He's emotionally broken. He's trapped. He's stuck. And he gets this invitation to go to a mountain shack that turns out to be a place where he had a devastating experience. And in that, by touching his own brokenness, in a sense, and going back to his own history, he meets God. And the image of God that the movie presents is a little bit surprising. The role of God the Father is played by Octavia Spencer. So it's a female godmother.
So it's got some controversy to it a little bit.
A little bit, but I think you need to get beyond the image.
The messages.
And the powerful image of she's just all loving, and she's overflowing with love, and in a sense the image is perfect for God the Father. And so he really meets the Trinity, and it changes his life. And I would recommend, I've been using it in a lot of my Lenten homilies, because it really goes to the essence of what Lent is about: going back, remembering who I am, touching my relationship with God, and being renewed in my identity as a Christian. And that's so much of what we're doing during Lent. In the parishes, it's a busy time for me. I was at a penance service with 800 teenage boys at Servite this morning. I'm going to Rosary Academy tomorrow. That'll be all girls. So that'll be a change of mood.
Well said, Father.
Virtually every parish in the diocese is having a Lenten penance service at some point along the journey. A lot of parishes are having Lenten retreats or a parish mission. And that's been there are really 62 different answers in the diocese to what's going on in Lent. But all of those activities are geared toward helping people, again, in that baptismal journey, remember their identity as Christians and live their faith journey a little bit better. One of the big ones, you mentioned it earlier, is the Wahoo Taco evenings that are coming up. Wahoo Tacos has kind of a little partnership with the diocese now, because the founder of that business was given an award at the Business and Ethics
Wing
Conference last year. Yes.
His name is Wing. We had him on here a week or two ago.
Yes.
Talking about this special he's doing. He's a very, very interesting man.
Well, in three of his locations, he's got a taco night that is combined with a special talk for all of the people gathered there for their fish tacos. There'll be a talk on Catholic Lenten practice.
Oh, wow.
And that's a great thing. Part of those events. And an event like that is going on in many parishes. A lot of parishes are having Lenten fish fries on Fridays. Maybe they begin the evening with the Stations of the Cross. I know the parish where I assist up in La Habra, Our Lady Guadalupe, they have Stations of the Cross first. And each week of Lent, the stations are both sponsored and led by a different group within the parish, a different parish organization. And then it's followed by the Lenten fish fry. And there's some great fish out there in a lot of places.
My parish hosts a Lenten soup supper on Fridays before they do the Stations of the Cross. And there's a ministry that is designated each week to be the primary bringers of the soup. So everyone that's in that ministry brings a crock pot with their favorite soup that they've made. And so you've got this set of tables with like 25 different crock pots and 25 different soups, and y'all come, and everyone just kind of comes. The parish buys the rolls, and there's soup and water and rolls, and the soups are absolutely wonderful, and everyone always has enough. And then when they're done with that, they go over to do the Stations of the Cross.
And penance doesn't have to be painful.
No. But it's simple and it's communal. Mm. It's so good.
And these parish missions are really quite wonderful. The parish where I reside, St. Philip Benizi, they're having a 3-day mission. They're calling it 3 days to change your life. Another Queen of Angels, Our Lady Queen of Angels, is having a parish mission featuring Father Richard Leonard, a Jesuit from Australia. And I got a notice that St. Killian's is doing a special mission with Father Dave Dwyer, not to compete with you, but another radio host.
And a very good one he is.
And the St. Edward's has a very special program. They've called theirs Relent. And so the focus is how to relent, we do the same thing every year. It's a ritual, but how do we renew ourselves by relenting?
So this period of time really isn't about giving up chocolate. This period of time might include giving up chocolate, but it's about,
I don't want to put that down, but no. it's not for trivial things. If giving up chocolate or cake or frosting or
to
vegetables,
a second grader, that's not trivial.
if that activity helps you to remember that you're a baptized person, you need to pull your weight and work hard at your life as a believer, then that's a good thing. But it's not the mortification or the lack of sugar that is really the purpose. The purpose is to get in touch again with my baptismal call and my living of the gospel.
So in addition to these normal things of trying to either give something that we would otherwise enjoy up for the 40 days or adding something good that we may not otherwise have done, such as maybe a designated time to pray for half an hour or to read scripture for half an hour. Not everyone goes to daily mass. Maybe to take on one more daily mass during the week that you wouldn't have otherwise done. Something to add to the spiritual thoughts in your life. We have all these other things that are available for us to do. We're not quite done with this section yet, but we've got a guest coming on for our next section, and she's going to talk about a very specific event. But if you were talking to youth, and I know you happen to have a background in high school ministry, mm-hmm. to know that your background is one of actually running a high school, what would be the focus you would have for youth in our diocese? How would you want them to think about, from a practical perspective, about how they can make the most of their Lent?
Well, in that penance service that I was at Servite today, I was actually preaching the service. There were probably 10 priests there, but I was the one designated to preach and to lead. I used that movie, The Shack, because exactly what Mac did in that film was what we need and youth especially need to do. I was so touched and moved by the seriousness and sincerity and kind of genuineness that the kids approached the sacrament with. But in order to get to that, they need, like Mac, to go back and touch their relationship with God. And you know, that's going to be a different experience for every one of us. It's going to be different for youth, but it's going to be different at every point in our life. But we need to go and touch that relationship with God. And that is what's going to tell us what will be appropriate or helpful in making next steps in responding to Him. And anything that helps, anything that strengthens, is going to be a good Lenten practice.
As a parent, one of the things that I used to be a principal of a school, and one of the things that I would tell the parents is how important it is for your kids to see you modeling your faith. And so it's not just a matter of asking the children what they're going to do and to help them get to their catechism classes, but to actually model that faith themselves. And going to a movie like Shack as a family, where we're all participating, that's a great opportunity to be able to go to a fish fry, or like in my parish at the soup suppers, are ways for us to be able to do this together, but to have your children, old and young, to see us parents modeling is very important as well.
One kid told me that his Lenten practice, he was he was giving up talking about cars. He just loved to talk about cars. He's wild about cars. When he gets together with his friends every day, they talk about cars. And so he gave up talking about cars. Now, that would be easy for me to do because I don't talk about cars, but it was significant for him.
That's what's important. When we come back, we're going to be talking with a very special guest of ours coming on, Cecilia Fan. And she has been active in the diocese, especially with young adults. But she's going to talk about an opportunity for the youth of our diocese to come together the day before Palm Sunday in a fantastic and huge event. And so I don't want to blow any more of the cover on that. We'll have our people, have everyone listening when they come back in. But when we come back, we're going to have Cecilia here to talk to you. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, and we will be right back.
Need an idea for summer vacation? Why not join Bishop Kevin Vann and Bishop Tim Fryer for a first-of-its-kind Catholic cruise from Long Beach to Ensenada, Mexico. You'll be entertained by acclaimed musician Francis Cabildo, music ministry director at Santa Margarita High School, and director of Christ Cathedral Music Ministries, Dr. John Romeri. You'll also have the blessed opportunity to celebrate Mass at the Cathedral in Ensenada. It's all happening July 21st to the 24th. For info, call Travel of Orange, 877-538-0010, occatholic.com/travel.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today has been Father Horan, and we're having a special guest join us for this last session because we wanted to talk a little bit about options for youth who would like to have a deeper encounter with God in this last part of Lent. So we brought in Cecilia Fan. Cecilia, welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio.
Thank you.
And Cecilia, you are the coordinator for young adult ministry for the Diocese of Orange.
Yes.
And this is therefore not entirely your bailiwick, but you're working with it anyway. Tell us, what is this option that youth are going to have as a unique but fantastic opportunity the day before Palm Sunday?
Yes. So Saturday, April 8th. Is an opportunity. It's called the OCYC, the Orange Catholic Youth Conference. And it's really an invitation from Bishop Vann, and it's our third annual conference for the youth of our diocese to come together to really celebrate and experience the beauty of our faith and of our Catholic community. And so this year's theme is United as One, and it really comes from chapter 37 in Ezekiel and John chapter 11 from the readings of that day, coming together united as one nation to be able to celebrate our faith and to really live out our call as disciples of Christ.
And one of the things that's very nice about the Orange Catholic Youth Conference is that it's our local participation in something that the Holy Father has called the entire world to. The Holy Father has designated the Saturday before Palm Sunday on a regular basis to local expressions of the World Youth Day. And so this is kind of our local and annual World Youth Day. So it's a great opportunity to bring together the parish youth programs, give the kids something a little bit special, prepare them for entering into the excitement of Holy Week and all that that brings with it, but a little fellowship, a little learning, and a little bit of fun.
Now, what audience is this geared toward? Are we talking about mostly then teenage years?
High school students, so anyone in high school, grades 9. Through 12.
Now, last year, I think it was held at Mater Dei High School.
Yes, so this year it'll be held here at our Christ Cathedral campus.
Okay, the beautiful Christ Cathedral campus here in beautiful downtown Garden Grove. Actually, this is one of the more beautiful days we've had, which has been nice. And it's going to be a beautiful day, I'm sure, when we hold this the day before Palm Sunday. So this is going to be on that Saturday. What kind of thematic material are you planning to go over? You mentioned two Bible verses. What's the hoped for takeaway for the kids that are coming?
So something that distinguishes OCYC from other conferences is that every year we try to do a session or a workshop that's interactive. So allowing the teens to work with one another or to learn about something. Last year, we did something a little bit more social justice oriented. And so they did a lot with washing vegetables and learning about homelessness and poverty. And this year, we'll be focusing on more of how to utilize social media and a community to be able to bring faith to others. And so in the light of uniting as one is being able to share and evangelize. And so allowing the teens in this year's interactive workshop to be able to work with one another to kind of go through the social media challenge here on campus and share their faith. So that's something that's really exciting about this particular conference is that sometimes instead of just sitting in a hall all day, you actually get to go out and do something.
So what does this look like? What time does this start and what can they expect when they get here for their day?
So it'll begin at 1 p.m. and then we'll end at 8:30 p.m. We'll start with praise and worship by a local band called Anthem Rising, and then the keynote by Jackie Francois Angel, who is also a local speaker and now, speaks internationally, really. So it's really exciting to be able to utilize the talents and the gifts here in Orange County. Bishop Van will be celebrating Mass that day. And there, during the dinner hour, we'll also have various religious orders for a vocations fair. There'll be an ice cream man as well as just fun activities throughout the day, ending with adoration.
So if you've given up ice cream for Lent, you can still go ahead and be spiritually filled by adoration at the end of the day.
Yeah. That's also an all-you-can-eat buffet for dinner. So.
Okay. So people usually have to give it up both, so that's good. So with that in mind, this is going to be held at 1 o'clock?
1 p.m.
1 o'clock here at the Diocese of Orange on the campus in Garden Grove. So anyone who wanted to come in, is it free of charge? Is there a registration they have to do? Is there paperwork they have to turn in?
There's definitely registration. So if you go to www.rcbo.org and type in OCYC into the search bar at the top right-hand corner.
Okay, say that all again. I didn't have a chance to write it down.
So www.rcbo.org and then type in OCYC into the search bar at the top right-hand corner. It will show, it will generate the page for OCYC 2017, United as One, and you can get to the registration page from there. So there is a cost, and for individuals who are registering up until March 20th, registration is $35. If you are bringing a group of 10 or more, then it is $30. And then after March 20th, our prices go up. So there's a little bit of time before the next price increase.
So now is the time for anybody who wants to go to go lobby their youth leader to try to get a group of 9 more people to go.
Yeah, and traditionally we get about 1,000 teens to this event.
That is
annually.
A large event.
Yeah. So most likely your parish is probably going. So get your youth minister, contact him or her, and say, hey, let's go.
Okay.
And you know, about 20% of youth are in Catholic high schools, but the large volume of youth out there, they have their weekly parish youth program, but the participation in that beyond confirmation is not huge. And so this is an opportunity to gather the youth from around the diocese, to give them some time with the bishop and really give them a fun time as well.
If I were speaking to the youth directors, and we've had a couple on before, I would be reminding them of the powerful impact that seeing not only a few other people from other churches from your own local area, but 1,000 young people from around the diocese, all gathered in one major location, all worshiping together, all celebrating Catholicism at a very holy time, just before Holy Week. Mm-hmm. The impact of that alone, just the image of it, is beautiful.
Well, and young people talk so often about peer support and, you know, and peer influence. So we want to really build them up and remind them that when they're involved in faith, they're not alone. They're not in it alone. They're part of a community, a bigger community. And there are lots of people who believe, and they're part of that group of worshipers.
I think it's very easy for us to become a little insular in our parishes, especially in youth programs of 10, 20, 30 people. It's a very important message to get that the body of Christ, all of us united together through the Holy Spirit, is one large organism, and it's made up of each one of us. To see that many young people there is going to be important. So are they allowed their normal distractions of youth, of cell phones and tweeting and the like when they go there?
Well, actually, what we like to do is harness what they sort of are already doing and using, meaning that their cell phones will be allowed. We want them to share this experience, right, to their friends who maybe aren't practicing or maybe didn't have an opportunity to go, who might be interested, for them to see that being Catholic is something that is exciting, that is a wonderful community to be a part of. And so that's
not just a bunch of rules.
Just not a bunch of rules.
So cell phones are allowed.
They
but
are allowed.
In the tradition of turning swords into plowshares, we're turning the cell phones into tablets and learning tools.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm. So, again, if they're interested in this, they should do two things. One, try to lobby their parish pastor or youth minister to try to get a group together of at least 10 people to keep the cost down. And number two, to go check out the website, the Roman Catholic Bishop of Orange website. Mm-hmm. And then the extension for that, once they get to RCBO,
just type in OCYC into the search engine up at the top right-hand corner, and it will take you to OCYC, United as One.
You know, Father, in the section before this, we were talking a lot about Lent in general. And it's so important to have a practical application of Lent. How do we really perceive ourselves? It's a time to recollect,
sure,
and a time for us to think about who we are. But it's also who we are in the context of who Jesus Christ is and the people around us.
That's right. It doesn't have to be punitive. It can be celebratory. Yeah.
And this is therefore an opportunity to be able to do that, to be able to have other people who are young, who have many of the same questions that you might be having, who might be listening now. And this is a time, therefore, in Lent to be able to come together and to celebrate that body of Christ. Cecilia, I want to thank you so very, very much for coming in.
Thank you.
And for sharing this with us. And I'm deeply hopeful that this will go off very well, because right after that, we then have Palm Sunday and Holy Week. I can't think of a better way for us to start Holy Week for our young people, the diocese, than have 1,000 of them come together in prayer and adoration and fun. Father, if you would be so kind as to lead us all in a word of prayer and a final blessing, I think all of us would deeply appreciate that.
Lord our God, we thank you for this time to reflect upon Lent, to prepare our hearts for the Easter that is on the horizon, and to touch our deeper and better selves so that we might truly be followers of your Son. We pray your blessing upon OCYC and the youth that will gather there, and we pray your blessing upon all of our listeners as they continue in their Lenten journey. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless all of you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And you're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today has been Father Gerald Horan, and our special guest for this last session, Cecilia Fan. And we have been talking about Lent, and I hope that your Lent is going very well so that you have a deeper relationship with Christ as we come to Easter. May God richly bless you, and we'll see you again next week.
Well, hello again, everybody. It is Lent here on Immaculate Heart Radio and throughout the world. With us is Wahoo's Fish Taco co-founder, Wing Lam. I understand you have another special for everybody out there this year.
Yes. During Lent, we're going to offer two fish tacos and a glass of wine for $9.99.
Will you come into the store and serve it for them?
Yes, I'll be bussing and serving you at all the locations.
And there's 60 of them, so don't miss out. It's Fish Fridays during Lent at Wahoo's Fish Taco. Thanks, Wing.
Thank you.